a lot of stuff. I printed a lot of tests on this, trying to get the color right, going back and forth with different translucencies and consistencies and pinks and purples, and because Mood Slime's not just one color, and he's a different color on the in the film when he's getting blasted as the head, he's a darker purple. And then to get all the fine details that Brendan sculpted the show, it took a lot of playing around to get him where we're pretty much happy with it. These are still kind of prototypes that I got sitting here, but pretty much the final version.
Don't shut it off. I'm warning you.
Welcome to Strange Glow Videos. Well, that's what I heard.
Aren't you going to introduce me to your feet?
Hosted by Alec, Justin, and Nick.
Well, that's what I heard.
Hello, and welcome to Strange Glow Video. My name is Justin. With me is my esteemed colleague, Alec. Nick has gone bye-bye for the moment. I don't know. I think I let him know too late about tonight's episode, so that's my bad, Nick. I apologize if you listen back. And then tonight
that was
we
me.
Have...
I'm sorry, that was me too. You're just lucky I didn't have anything going on.
Monday. It's Monday. And we got Tony from Phantasm Toys joining us tonight. So welcome to the show, Tony. Appreciate you joining.
Hello, thanks for having me. Nice to finally talk to you guys again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been since the premiere, since we all caught up in person, but can't believe we haven't had you on the show before, but it's just one of those things that kind of slipped through the cracks, and then we had a little bit of downtime this year, more so than usual. So,
but it's great to talk to you guys. Doesn't matter when or why.
Exactly, but we do have some awesome stuff to talk about tonight. So, you guys have cooked up something real nice, Clark, and I think everybody wants that under their Christmas tree as soon as they see this thing. Pre-orders are going to start on the stroke of midnight. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Stroke of midnight.
Yep. Stroke of midnight, New Year's Eve will be the official coming of Viggy. He's been a bad monkey, but he'll be good to you guys and your collections.
And now, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is he going to wait? Is he going to wait until Valentine's Day to ship?
Probably the way it normally takes, it takes about 6 to 8 weeks to make all these and get them shipped out and to get all the stuff in. And yeah, so it probably will end up working out that way.
So your goal, your mission, if you should choose to accept this, is to have as many of the shipping dates on the label say Valentine's Day as possible. Just to come kind of full circle on it.
I'm game. Yeah, we're going to have two sizes. We're going to have the... A smaller version, but not really all that small. He's pretty much about 3 inches tall, but he stands over 6 inches when he's on his little altar. And then we're going to have the bigger version, and he's about 6 inches of head, and he stands 11 inches tall when he's on his nice acrylic stand. He's pretty beefy, but he stands on that stand real good and nice and strong. But
oh yeah,
We tried to capture that like 5 second scene in Ghostbusters 2 where they blast him off of possessed Ray and he's just a floating head in front of the canvas for, it's literally like 5 seconds of screen time, but it's one of me and Brendan's favorite part of the whole movie is when you actually see the floating giant head of Viggo and they're blasting him back into the painting. So we tried to capture that in a collectible.
And I think you nailed it. And it brings you right back to the dark room scene where they're actually making those photos too as well.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of has those same vibes there. So I think it works out.
Yeah. Just like the prophecy said just before his head died, but there he is.
Yeah. Well, the head is alive and well.
So, we had I printed a lot of tests on this, trying to get the color right, going back and forth with different translucencies and consistencies and pinks and purples, and because Mood Slime's not just one color, and he's a different color on the in the film when he's getting blasted as the head, he's a darker purple. And then to get all the fine details that Brendan sculpted the show, it took a lot of playing around to get him where we're pretty much happy with it. These are still kind of prototypes that I got sitting here, but pretty much the final version.
Okay, that's awesome. I can't imagine the amount of work that goes into that. So
it's a lot.
So I imagine you're kind of doing like a resin print version, like doing fine lines on it, then to make a mold. Is that kind of the basis for your process? I don't want to give away your company secrets, but
No, no real big secrets. They're the resin print quality that I can get with just a little bit of sanding and some more or less like a clear coat and little finishing touches to them. These are the actual 3D prints right here that sell those. So there's no real casting involved, at least most of our stuff, no real casting involved. It's the 3D print.
That's awesome. Okay. I didn't know how the process was because they look very clear, but like I know on a few of them, you can kind of see some of the print lines on the inside of the acrylic, look at the translucent ones. And I really like that because it almost has a prism look to it and kind of adds like another layer to it when you're looking at them. So.
Yeah, our Colossal Scolaris had that. And when they came out like that, I was like, this actually looks really nice. So we just rolled with it.
Yeah, I think the one I noticed is this, the Ecto Cooler Mini. And he's kind of got some of that look in there. But he looks like, it takes it from being a cool collector's piece to truly being an art piece, the way that looks on the inside. So,
yeah.
Yeah, he's a nice.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. My wife saw your post earlier on Instagram and she's like, did you pre-order this yet? And usually like stuff showing up in the mail, she's like, when did you buy this? I was like, I pre-ordered it. Like everything's pre-ordered, right? For the most part. And so, especially around the holidays, I'm like, look, I'm not over here going crazy with stuff, but I have pre-ordered a few things here. So stuff shows up. It's been there for a while. I know Alec has some of those pieces as well. What do you have in the line over there, Alec?
I have some of the older stuff. I've been like the last year, I haven't bought anything. I've been so broke, but I do have a very limited piece that I got at the premiere.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I got one of the Golden Munchers.
Yeah. Those are cool.
Yeah. The exclusive, Golden Mini Munches. Yeah. I think I only made like 7 or 8 of those total. So yeah, those are very exclusive.
That's awesome. I think they gave out 4 or 5 of them. Jake gave me mine and I was stoked.
Yeah, nice. I got the classic blue here version of him, and I love the details on that. Like the face sculpt was great. Everything about it looks great. And that still has the old tramp stamp on the back with the old
creepers.
Yep. I love that. How it's like just hidden in there casually. Like, what is that? You're like, is that a miss? You're like, nope, that's the logo. Perfect. I like it.
Yeah, we still have a muncher type ghost that we've been cooking up for a while. It's been every chance we get to try and work on, we kind of move a little bit like 2 steps forward, 2 steps back, kind of going back and forth with it. But it would be a crime for there to be a complete another movie to come out before we get a nice, accurate muncher figure that fits in the scale with some figures, rather than what we've got is kind of cool. I mean, the Fright Features one is cool, but that's all we've really gotten. Never really got the official like figure version of Muncher, and we've been playing around with something, so stay tuned.
Yeah, I think I saw a few, you know, one of the shows you did a while back, I think I saw that when you had the library ghost up. Maybe it's just kind of a teaser at your table.
Yeah,
so that's pretty cool still though to see all that. Glad to hear it's still in the works, right? Take your time with it. Don't rush something that's not ready.
Yeah, we definitely try not to. That's one thing. Before anything's like officially released, it's something that I've pretty much guaranteed, okay, I can replicate this. I can achieve this. I'll be able to mass produce this. And it's not something that if we're like, hey, here, you want to buy this? And then I'm like, oh, how am I going to make this? It's definitely a lot of thought and pre-planning goes in before anything is really even shown. So.
Yeah, well, we worked with you on our exclusive Alf Ghost, and like you guys knocked that out of the park for us, and I've got it over here, and just the thought and everything you put into the packaging and the sizing for it, like I know you guys care and you guys do hard work on that stuff because you got this to fit really, in the regular package.
Oh, it was perfect too because we were, you know, it was like we were worried about the tail and stuff at one point, I remember, but it was like you guys just made it work. Without like, I don't know. There was some issue with the tail at first with like the balance of it. Like, I don't know, is this going to work? But then he ended up making it work. And I am grateful for that because that tail just rules.
Well, it is weird to see Alf with a tail, but to make him be a ghost. And we were talking I remember talking about it, and like the old Casper puppets from the Pizza Hut puppets wanted to try and do something like that. So we tried to get the best of both worlds in there and actually make Alf Reed as a ghost, but he still looks good. I think he looks great.
He looks great.
He has a tail all the time.
Well, you never hardly see his bottom half anyway, except in like figure form and puppets. And when they have the person in the suit, which really only happened in the first season and then like once or twice in the later season. So.
Yeah. And those later seasons, they like they try to do everything they could to shoot around it like they did with the Muppets, you know, but like that first season, they're like, do it a couple of times. So,
yeah.
So do you guys have anything else in the pipelines that's you want to share about just yet? I know that Vigo is going to be a huge project, so I imagine that's going to be or Carpathian. Let's use that term.
Come on now.
We're just calling him Viggy, I guess. We were actually going to call him the Carpathian at first, but it's kind of a mouthful. And like the Destructor is kind of, that was kind of a mouthful too. But of all the other options, it was actually, we were going to call her and actually have it right here, like the first card back we made. And it still has her first name, which we were just calling her the prehistoric bitch. But we didn't know, you know, how that would fly and people displaying it and stuff. So we went with a little nicer form with the Destructor. But we got a lot of stuff we're always working on in behind the scenes. So,
yeah, I can imagine like choosing the name for that. Like half the group would really love that. And then there's like the people that are like, I don't necessarily want to display that. So I totally feel the vibes there. Now, we are very R-rated in our own content, so we are all for like breaking it down, but I totally get where you're coming from on that, because there's a fair amount of times when we do interviews with people where we're just kind of toning it down not to be the usual assholes that we tend to be. Gotta make it a little bit easier to digest sometimes. You know what you're getting that way.
Yeah. But like I said, there's so many things untapped things in Ghostbusters that never really became any type of collectible or thing you could get or have in physical form. Like even the Scolari brothers, I mean, there's a little bit things here and there. Even Vigo hasn't really had that many options as far as figures go. And some of the stuff is when they like another company does tackle it, they almost do like the same thing the previous company did. So it's really not that new.
Yeah.
So there's so many things on the table that we could possibly, I don't know. I think we should actually like have like a poll to help, because we have so many ideas and we're bouncing around back and forth. And we have a hard time figuring out which next thing we should pursue and move forward with, because we want to see all the things that we have planned and have designed like in real life. So maybe we should just have like a poll and put up a couple of things that we have cooking and see what everybody would like to see have happen next. And that sounds like a good idea.
I think people would like that. Yeah. I think they would dig that, because to your point, there's so much out there, you know, with the old Kenner line, they did all these amazing ghosts, but really there's only a few that even remotely touch on being anything from the show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Granny Gross is kind of the closest one. And I think that was more accidental than anything else, really.
Yeah.
Kind of loosely there. And, you know, it just, are you guys thinking about venturing outside of that certain world? Because I got to tell you, I would like to see some Monster Squad inspired stuff. I got to tell
we love all kinds of stuff. I mean, we've done a couple Ninja Turtle things and
I've seen those. I love those little turtles. They're like and the price point on those is you can't beat that, because to get even just one of those little turtles, the glow in the dark turtles that fit in the ooze, that came in the used canisters, like those things are like $30 to $50 easily on secondhand right now. And I'm like, really? For that? I figure those would be everywhere. But like for such a small piece, those are going for pretty high prices when I've been looking. So,
yeah, that's why we did the same thing with the Fanplasms, because the Ectoplasm mini ghosts are so hard to find. And like one is like $30-$40 and they're cool to have. But it's kind of pricey. And we completely re-sculpted even the mini turtles too. They're not like a scan of the original or just a ripoff of that. It's completely different, new sculpt, updated details, and the same inspiration and style, and you know, fits right in. But if you compare the two, you can totally tell side by side that Ours has a lot more detail and a completely original sculpt and all that good stuff. Yeah, but still, sure. If you can put it right into the collection, it looks like, oh yeah, I got the mini ghosts or I got the mini turtles.
Fits right in there. Looks great.
Yeah.
So Frozen Empire is coming up. So haven't really had a chance to chat with you about that. Yeah. How are you feeling on that?
I'm pumped. Like everything that keeps coming out, making me more and more excited for it. Everything I'm hearing from Uncle Dan is getting me excited. All the stuff he's saying, even about his character and that promo shot from, it was
Empire
Bill
Magazine.
Murray and Paul Rudd. Yeah. The Empire Magazine promo shot with the frozen containment unit and Bill and Paul finally like interacting. Like that's something that I was really hoping to see and get some of at least in Afterlife was like Paul Rudd's interaction with the OGs, but we really didn't get like any of that. So like here we're actually going to get it and it's guaranteed. Here's a photo of what's coming up. And so everything I'm seeing, I'm getting really excited.
Yeah, I loved reading the article today. You know, it's just a snippet of the full thing, so I had to order the full magazine. I'm like, first official magazine press, kind of covering it. I'll get it. And Empire is usually a pretty good magazine. Like for Afterlife, they did some top quality articles, and even for Answer the Call, they did. So I've got their Ghostbusters issues kind of stashed away with the book collection. But I think the fact that they said they're kind of moving past the Gozer era, I think really makes sense, right? I think they got the story done that they needed to, and they're looking kind of past that now. So that's very reassuring.
But I don't think I've seen many people talk about, are there not many puffs on that theater poster display.
So they're not entirely
moving past it, no matter what, but
no,
doesn't mean I'm not necessarily okay with that. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to have Stay Puffed in there. We'll have Slimer back, obviously. That'd be enough for me. But you know, it's still too early to tell. It's just that glimpse of them.
Yeah, and, you know, I could see a few angles where they could say, you know, it's like the manifestation or residual effects. So they could probably easily write that in there. But to your point, I think that became like the kind of the next big mascot. And so I think we're going to kind of see a lot more of that, just kind of capture that like wider general fan audience and younger audience more than anything else. How that plays out, is that good, bad, indifferent? I don't know yet. I can't say, but I like seeing that poster display. I'm like, where am I going to put that when I get one of those?
Seriously, I want one.
Yeah. Well, you already have the containment unit, so you need to like make that into the basement opening when you come in down in the room. So.
But if they can come up with a good way to at least explain the mini puffs, if and when they come back, which they probably will, just for marketing reasons and toy reasons and all that good stuff. But if they can come up with a logic, well, it doesn't have to be that logical, but just at least some, you know, recognition that why are these things here? Like some sort of throwaway line, it would help out a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. Slimer, how do you guys feel about that?
I expected it. It's going to be in New York. I was like, yeah, there's going to be Slimer back.
Yeah, and that's what I expected too. Well, with Jason outright saying, people are like, hey, where's Slimer? And he's like, he's in New York. And you're here in New York. And so, you know, like, that's not lost on us, right? So a little continuity there from what they're talking about. They weren't just saying that to get you to stop talking about it. They're saying that because they had other plans. So I do appreciate that. The marketing
was really
push,
cool
though.
It was really cool that Sony just straight came out and Ghost Corps just straight out came, yep, Slimer's back. Just didn't leave it to be like just thought about or some sort of teaser or marketing thing. Like, no, he's back. And he looks awesome too. Really OG onion head looking. Love it. Looks like
I'm glad we didn't learn about Slimer being back from being on like a box of popcorn or something.
Yeah.
It's cooler to have a theater display, even if I didn't see it in person.
Yeah, so that was interesting because I saw that first thing in the morning through Ghostbusters of Mexico, and then like by mid-morning Sony like put it up, you know, I think probably by 10 a.m., which is obviously West Coast time, Central time is where we're at. So by, you know, that's kind of how I knew when the trailer was going to drop too. I was like, well, last time they always drop it like right at 8 a.m., so hit those business hours. And so as soon as they showed that and kind of confirmed it, I was like, all right, because I didn't want to comment about it or post about it, because we're trying to stay away from like spoiling anything. Like, people are going to do that on their own, but like, you can get there on your own. We don't need to do that for you. So trying to keep it to the official release stuff. But that ice looks pretty wicked, though. That whole lenticular thing, I was like, oh my God. And you made it a lenticular theater standee, too? Like, come on now.
Yeah. It's amazing looking.
Yeah. And like, you know that if you just did like a small, like table-sized one, same thing, just shrunk it down in scale, like we would all get that. Like, I would love to have that in there. Like, dude, get me one of those that's sized for a video store.
Yeah.
Like, we need that. Like, I'd love the full-size one, but honestly, I don't have anywhere to properly put it. So. So, did you guys jump onto the next TAS lab there? I know Alec was close, but didn't quite make it.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. We, Brendan and I both backed it. Kind of drug our feet a little bit, and we both own the Maddie collector stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I mean, the HasLab stuff is better. I mean, it's actually, because if you tried to hold up the Maddie collector trap by the cord, it's done. It's going to fall out.
Yeah.
It's never going to work again. And when those initially came out, they had like the connector pin issue, like the cord mm-hmm. and like the trap and the pedal couldn't communicate with each other, and it was messing up all the time. So I think I might have like super glued my cord into my trap when I finally had it like hooked up and connected properly. And like, I don't want this to move ever again because it'll never work. So, but yeah, we both finally pulled the trigger. I was probably going to do it anyways because it's Ghostbuster stuff and I got to have everything.
Yeah.
It's a sickness, but
it is.
The Adam Savage video really threw me over the edge. Not the reveal of the engineering core patch or anything, just actually seeing it being handled and rolling it on the floor. And yeah, that really made me super excited. I'm like, yep, ordering it. There we go.
Yeah, that's I mean, I'd backed it right away because I never had the Mattel trap. I have the PKE meter still, and I really like that. And I think that was really the pinnacle. The PKE meter itself was the pinnacle of what Mattel did.
Mm-hmm.
As far as longevity and overall use and, you know, being accurate besides the sound. So,
yeah, mine's still kicking too.
Yeah. So it is going to be nice to have the modded PKE meter with the taser and all that stuff too. So then like I've got the PKE classic for Maddie, and then I'll have this new one. So kind of having each one. And then the trap, I was pretty impressed that they made the cartridge come out and everything there too. So I was like, okay.
Yeah. I was surprised they actually went and did that too. Because it's a function that you see it going in the containment unit like that, but you never really see it ever again. And if you don't really have a containment unit or something, there's no real reason for that. And I'm sure it causes all kinds of issues because it's got functioning lights and doors on it, and it's a removable piece from all kinds of stuff. So you got another connection point that'll just raise the price of it even more. And the fact that they did that and the functioning EMF detector and the PKE meter, like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
like, you don't want to use it way possible.
Yeah, like, you don't want to use it to find stray voltage in your house, but you know, I'm like, that's probably a good point, but still. Yeah, I was pretty excited about that. You know, I got a feeling though we're gonna see another, you know, the proper, you know, even though they said that was a teaser trailer, like, I got a feeling we're gonna see a proper trailer here pretty soon. I can't imagine.
I got a feeling Slimer will be in that too. I think.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a little bit more about that because with all the press they've started officially letting hit, you know, all the YouTubers and stuff that were over and they did their soft launches. And then, you know, with YHS getting ready to do their Friday shows of all the stuff they saw behind the scenes. So I think we're really kind of hitting that big press, and the fact that they knocked out that filming pretty quick already, I think happened, you know, that happened down in Atlanta and they had knocked that out over like a week, I think. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think it's coming out of like the best time possible with, the strikes, and there's been this lull of no new things coming out. And I think Afterlife really, for the most part, got everybody reinvigorated with the franchise and refamiliar with it and excited again. And with everything they're saying and showing for this new one is nothing but amazing so far, that I think it's going to be a big hit. And I don't think it's, going to be like, it's going to reinvigorate the franchise even more to where we're going to get more films. And because it seemed like this might have been potentially, if it doesn't pan out, they might not be anymore type of thing. But I don't think it's going to do that. I think just with the timing alone and the time it's going to come out, nothing really going against it, that it's going to be a hit.
When you look at the numbers, like Afterlife did really well in video on demand after the fact, because a lot of people still weren't comfortable going to the theater then. And then, like, you look at the YouTube numbers, and that's the only thing on the Ghostbusters YouTube channel that's cleared 20 million views. Like, that's their most watched video, and it happened almost immediately. So, and then if you look at all the pictures that have been delayed out of 2024, like, that's the biggest film early on in the year as well, right? You know, you're not even going to see Deadpool 3 until like November. So, and I think that has an advantage, because that's a Marvel movie that people aren't like super burned out on. But the fact that people aren't burned out on Ghostbusters right now kind of gives people a little bit of, breathing room there to really like see what this can do. Which Afterlife, I felt like, contained such a small story. Like, I don't even feel like you have to have seen Afterlife to go and watch Frozen Empire. Right? For the casual viewer, I think they're just going to be able to walk in there and kind of get most of it.
We'll see. I think hopefully you might be right.
Hopefully they'll have watched it before then, just to kind of get caught up with it. But I mean, you know, anytime someone sees your Ghostbuster shirt when you're out and about and they're asking you questions, yada, 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 you know, you're like, okay. Yeah, you're like, you're asking the wrong person, because I can talk to you about this for days. So what are you thinking, Alec? You've been kind of quiet over there.
I've just been letting you do the thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm more reserved about it. But
you weren't a big fan of Afterlife, were you?
Well, I'm a fan, but I got hot takes for sure. I mean, I loved Answer the Call too, especially like now when I watch it, I have arguably a funner time watching that than Afterlife. I love Afterlife. I love all the new characters, but like, I don't know, maybe it's like the last 25% of the movie. As soon as the Callie and Grubison are getting possessed, I'm like, okay, this should be getting good, and it doesn't get good enough for me. And I have a lot of criticisms of it, but I think I have higher hopes for this, but I also have reservations. You know, I see when the first thing that made me like, oh, like my heart sink for Afterlife before I saw it was when the mini puffs came out, and I was like, oh God, you know, oh shit, here we go. That was like what I was thinking, you know. And I don't hate them as much as I did then. I wouldn't say I hate them. Definitely a little, you know, but I still like them. I got the ornament on my tree still.
Yeah, I mean, I got a huge kick out of that, but I can see your reservations there, right? Because to me, like, there's things that if you had done different with Afterlife, I think it would have made a better film overall. Like, I love the new cast. And for me, I've watched the movie a lot just to kind of let it sink in. And I will say, the more I watch that, the less I nitpick the stuff that bothered me to begin with, because I'm just enjoying it. I'm not trying to be like, I know everything about Ghostbusters ever made, so now I need to nitpick it. I'm just like, what does the normal person watch this and think? Not someone that's like, not someone with my deranged mental illness of love for Ghostbusters, but like, what is just a casual person experience?
That's how you justify some of the bizarre and odd choices that you might call out in that, but like, I still watch it too. I don't have a bad time. I'm not sitting there like cringing. I will say I cringe much more during Answer the Call, but it's literally during the only time I'm like, ugh, watching Answer the Call is when the Fall Out Boy version of the song comes on.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, nope, I'm out for this one. This is cut, 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 cut this.
But yeah, see, that's, and I'm hoping we get a good soundtrack this time again, right? Because we didn't really get the soundtrack at all.
Well, like, honestly, we I'm scared. I like almost what they did with Afterlife better than what, if they try to do, like, yeah, let's get some modern artists again, you know, and have like five or six original pop songs written for this, pop and hip hop or whatever, you know. We're just not at the same, we're not susceptible to that the same way. You know what I mean? Like when you're a kid and you hear Bobby Brown, you're like, sure. But like, just imagine like, shit, I can't even name like a pop star that I would be really cringed out on, but like, they'd probably be people we fucking haven't even heard of.
True. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
True.
I mean, I'm a little more in touch, I feel like, with the youth culture. I like what I did there. But I don't know. I feel like there could be questionable options. But then again, it's Jason Reitman and Gil Keenan. So it could also be like a bunch of weird indie synth artists, and that'd be fucking dope. Like, yeah, have a bunch of,
I'd be down for that.
Have a bunch of like synth wave and like 80s pop style bands.
Well, even just do 80s pop music on there, right? I mean, you can easily shoehorn that in by having Callie and Gruberson listening to that music, like around the firehouse.
Well, I was going to say, Cruel Summer is definitely already added to my Ghostbusters playlist.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, oh, yeah. It had to be. I mean,
instantly.
Yeah. I started the Frozen Empire playlist. I was like, well, first song in there, it's ready to go. Keep adding things as we get there. So, yeah, well, I'm curious, though.
I can get having nitpicks and because I do too with Afterlife. A couple decisions here and there I probably would have made different. But it was just that 3 decades of not having anything and building up to wanting another canonical film and it finally happening and everybody have all these expectations and thoughts and what's happened and how are they bringing it back? Well, now that movie's out of the way. Now I don't know. Now they can just do whatever they want. Hopefully they do and go and move on and do crazy things where you're not worrying about, well, what have they done for 30 years and where's Egon and why's this and why is the car here and this and that. It's just go be Ghostbusters, go do some cool shit, fight some crazy demon ice thing. I'm down for it.
Yeah, I think to me the thing I'm looking forward to the most is that we don't have to watch like a startup, right?
Yeah,
like the business is going, because to me, like, that was the downfall of Ghostbusters too, was that they had to restart the business. Like, had they even just like started up with that going on and then had to fight Vigo, I mean, that would have been fine to me too. Like, why did you have to shut him down? I mean, sure, we got the Scolari brothers out of it, but and then Answer the Call was the same way. Like, you kind of have to see the origin story there. Like, well, like, how good of a business model can this be if it goes out of business every couple of years? Like, we're not doing something right here. So I think, to me, like, let's just get right into it. It's all going crazy. And like, let's have a really fun picture. So,
and then, let's have a really fun picture. I'm old timey Justin.
Yeah,
1930s Hollywood.
Venkman's Ghost.
Gotta be great. It's gotta be great, kid.
Yeah, that's that Conan O'Brien vibes. You know, he always brought that like weird timey, old timey character around.
Yeah, he loves that old timey 1940s baseball announcer.
Oh yeah.
And I got to wonder, like, what do things look like with this cartoon series, right? We haven't heard about that in a little while, but I imagine that's probably decently into development if it's going to kind of anticipate hitting sometime after the movie, just to be that stopgap between movies. Or,
well, we also had a writer's strike, so.
Yeah.
That slowed them down significantly, I'm sure. So you got to probably add 6 months onto the timeline, because I don't think they're probably writing.
Yeah. And I'm good with that too. Like, I don't want this to be like the Marvel timeline and the Star Wars timeline where it's like every other year we get a movie. Like, I would rather you take your time with it. I'll take 2 or 3 years, you know, 3 years off easily just to make sure we're getting a better quality story. Right. I don't need this to be like oversaturated, but I get it. It's an IP brand, a popular one at that. So what are your biggest reservations about what's next, Alec?
What's next?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Predictable things. Like, I don't know. We should almost make a bingo card of like.
Oh my God. We should do that. If we're going to the premiere, we should make a bingo card for things in the movie.
Like Peter Venkman dies. Everybody's talking about that today because of the fucking little clip of him saying he wanted his character to die. And it's like, I'm pretty sure he said that for a while now, but
yeah, a long time ago. Yeah.
But still, it'd be fun to put on the bingo card because I wouldn't put it past the motherfuckers to do that shit these days. But then you think about it, Gil Keenan, Jason Reitman. But that I kept having that mentality last time, and then I left the theater like, like I had too much hope in Jason Reitman. A little too much. I was too stoked.
Well, I think for me, like when I look back on that, like I had that enthusiasm because we'd waited so long for it.
Mm-hmm.
But to our level of fandom, it's a little bit unhealthy. But we're doing fine, right? If we're being honest. But you just got to, if you can step back from some of that, you can understand where things are going because it told an emotional story, which is what Jason excels at, right? And so putting him in a universe that's outside of that where he's not used to doing that, you're like, okay, I get why things were the way they were. But I'm just so excited to see like that the universe can be as crazy as they want it to be now. Like, let's do some wild stuff. And yeah, everyone is like, yeah, Venkman's going to die. And I'm like, he said that for years. He's not top billed in this movie, though. So I don't imagine.
Yeah, but that's what I thought. There's no way they're going to, you know, fucking just kill off Han Solo when I saw Force Awakens. Like, okay, that should have been on the Star Wars bingo card for that movie for sure.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying. I'm not here saying I think they're going to do it. But it's like, I don't know with these fucking movies. They might. You never know.
You just don't know. Like, if Bill asked for that, you know, like with his casting, like we've seen him in the trailer. We've seen him in this new poster or article piece. So they're using him, right? He's got star power, but he also had controversy recently.
But he's also not the only one not listed on, like, the main cast. So,
yeah.
Out of the original Ghostbusters and shit, too. Like,
yep. Yeah, I mean, we assume Janine's in there as well, right? We've seen the Annie Pot stuff, and then obviously there's a certain buddy that Mr. Wally Wick, we haven't seen him pop up on anything yet, so even though all the photos we saw leaked over the summer say otherwise, so, you know.
Another bingo card spot would be Slimer sliming Peter again.
Yeah.
These aren't things I want to see necessarily.
He slimes somebody else this time.
That
would be my guess. I would go
one of the new characters.
Yeah, one of the new characters.
Gruberson.
Maybe Paul Rudd.
Good.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say it's going to have to be Gruberson, right? Because we've already
seen. Well, let's hope for that.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, because, I mean, you look at it like with Podcast, who I'm assuming we're going to figure out his real name in this movie, right? They said they knew it before. And, I mean, that'd be hilarious if they just keep not telling us that, but alluding to it or something. I mean, I'd be fine with that. But what was it, Alec? Was it you that was saying like you'd see it like when they do like a job interview or like him filling out like internship paperwork for like Raise a Cult where he'd be like, yeah, here's his real name, writes it down on a sheet of paper.
No.
I think I heard somebody mention that as an idea. Like that's how you see his name. Like,
that does sound familiar.
I was about to say that I would not have described him as doing an internship at Raise a Cult because that sounds like something I don't want to see. I don't want to see that scene happen. I mean, like, you know, I don't know. That just sounds like fan filmish to me.
It is. And I think that's the tough part about it, right? And then,
right.
Where it's a good thing we're not writing these but you also need to have like an advisory board of saying like, okay,
I mean, if I came up with stuff, it would be fan filmy as fuck probably.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I'm not writing Ghostbusters movies. So
I guess the same goes for me, but maybe in another lifetime,
it'd be like, get this. The main villain is actually a ghost.
They're actually going to bust a ghost.
Yeah, holy shit.
It's not a demigod.
Where would you put the library ghost reappearing on the bingo card?
That would definitely go on there.
I think definitely going to see her or some sort of mention or something of her is definitely.
I was about to say, The painting. Not the Vigo painting, but the painting that it morphs into.
The Renaissance, yeah.
Oh.
Whether it's at somewhere else other than the fire. Exactly. The painting popping up, or the Ghostbusters 2 logo making an appearance in some format. Like, yes, in a background or something. Again, these are not necessarily things I want to see at all, but the things like, you got to have, that's definitely on a bingo card thing. That. So I would have never thought they're actually going to put a Crunch bar in the suit here and a fucking Twinkie in the, and then Batman did it too. Put a Twinkie in the Batmobile.
That was pretty funny. Yeah. Yeah, I think that was pretty good.
Now the slime blower's confirmed pretty much, right?
Yeah, it's been in the
video.
Yeah, and actually I read a new description somewhere, and maybe it was something that Dan Aykroyd said specifically about the movie, like kind of almost in the synopsis style, basically saying that it was a psychomagnetheric object or something like that.
Yeah.
That the ghost is possessed in. So it's basically confirmed that they're going to be using that. I mean, they've had it in all the press photos. Like, why would you make those just to have on set? That seems kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're that easy to make, I would have one. Like, right? I mean, the slime blower is a little bit more cumbersome than the pack.
Well, it'll make sense, too, because there will be enough of them wearing enough packs, too, that...
Yeah. You know,
I mean, maybe it's one point or another.
Maybe it's a reaction to one of the biggest complaints about Afterlife, was there was all this nostalgia and callback, and even the score was all Ghostbusters 1, Ghostbusters 1. There was hardly any real, besides Raise a Cult and maybe a few things scattered in the background, no real callback to anything about Ghostbusters 2. Like, they could have even like thrown in when they were looking up YouTube clips and the old commercial and stuff, and when Gruberson was showing the Phoebe and podcast, they could have had like Statue of Liberty walks downtown New Year's Eve 1989 or whatever that was. And
but
there was no real connection to Ghostbusters 2 really at all throughout Afterlife, so maybe being a sequel, it's going to be all sequel goofiness.
Give me some musical cues, like when we show up to Venkman's apartment, I want to hear that,
the strut, you know.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
Well, and a lot of the Ghostbusters 2 references that we saw in all the behind the scenes footage, like the toaster was in Egon's kitchen. Well, mm-hmm. I don't think I don't think anything ever made it from there. And I think there was a thing that said the 1A plate was somewhere in the garage somewhere, like, and you can kind of see it on a shelf briefly, but I think
they said like it was on the set. Like, if the camera would have panned like another foot and a half in one of the scenes, like, you would have seen it. But I guess it got cut or something. It never actually made it on the screen or something like that.
About a foot and a half.
Yeah. Well, the camera didn't. So
exactly,
we missed that piece.
I think there wasn't there a guy? Not, was it a Geigermeter? Or
there's a Geigermeter, and I hadn't seen that for lab. Like. It took me forever to see that, because I'd watch it on a lot of screens where it was just too dark. And so I had one where I had the brightness up, and I was like, oh, it's right there in front of me the whole time.
Yeah, it's with all his like diplomas and degrees and stuff, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of sitting on top of a stack there. So what do you think about all the new tech in the trailer?
I think it looks sweet. I mean, it makes sense for the equipment to evolve. And like, as far as the proton pack goes, I hope it's kind of like a real Ghostbusters X like response to the new big bad. Like, they have to modify the equipment to tackle this new threat. That was my guess. Cool.
Yeah, and I think, well, you know, they already kind of hinted at the research and development team, right? We kind of are expecting that to be a cornerstone to the story. And I'll just be honest. I do not like the caution stripe stuff too much. Now, on the pack, I didn't hate it on that one corner, but like when they used to have that on all the packaging and like on everything, I was like, okay, that's too much. On the trap, it makes sense because that's dangerous. You're not supposed to look there. So it's, you know, like that piece made sense.
The trap is the best use of the caution tape, period.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
But the yellow stuff does make sense, right? Because they are so dark. I get it that you have a little contrast. It probably films better. It's easier to light a sequence when you got a little bit more stuff going on to make it more visually interesting. So I'm on board for that. I think it's pretty exciting. And I like how they kept kind of the traditional looks that we have, but they built on it, right? You know, we've seen them build on the gear in a lot of different ways. We saw it with the video game in 2009. We saw it with Spirits Unleashed. Even the Into the Dead add-on content there, or Into the Dead 2 had the add-on content where you could upgrade your Ghostbusting gear. So there's lots of source material to pull from that, comics and everything else. So it feels right at home. I just don't know if I was sold on that yellow immediately, but obviously time will tell, and I'm not going to say no to more Ghostbusters. So
I was going to say the yellow bumper is ugly, but that's just because it's yellow, and yellow is kind of ugly, especially that shade of yellow. But what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Worst things have happened.
Yeah, for sure. And who's to say that they're all like that, right? I mean, that still looked like they took the original Spangler pack and continued to mod it from there based on the other, add-ons. So.
Well, I think one point in the trailer, Finn, where they show Finn Wolfhard fire in the pack, it still looks like the traditional Spangler pack. Like the tip of it isn't modified, and it doesn't look like it has the yellow striping on it and stuff. So maybe we'll get to see more of the upgrades happen and the reasons why, and it's not just something different to be different. Hopefully there's like an actual meaning behind it.
Yeah, and so far kind of what you can tell, like with the ribbon cable, I like how you could kind of see the breakout of the ribbon cable. I thought that was kind of a neat thing to do. I'm like, that is difficult for the GB2 ribbon cable, because that Spectre cable just doesn't lend itself well to that, but that GB1 cable does. So, you know, kind of keep more than one version of the pack around. And I think, you know, there's still reason to carry a regular old pack too. So we'll see what happens. Anything else you guys want to wrap on here before we close this thing down? Man,
I don't know.
I think we hit it all. So Vigo is going to be up for pre-sale on New Year's Eve. Stroke of midnight goes up. So on make sure you get you.
New Year's Eve.
I feel like we need to make that book. You're not even going to see paperbacks until the new year.
Or a miniseries. Or...
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have Vigo just for fun. I mean, it timed out good the way we were working on things. It was getting close. I didn't want to rush anything out before the holidays. And so it suits him. The coming of Vigo to your collections can begin with the birth of the new year.
Now is the season of evil. Why are you and mother to me?
Yeah, you gotta love that. I always love quoting the obscure lines, like the villain lines. Like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? We're just living our best life out here.
Why am I drippings with goo?
Yeah,
that's one of my favorites.
So there are some other side characters. Like, do you think any of those characters might make an appearance?
You know what? I'm just going to say right now, if Janosch makes an appearance, I know it's not going to happen, but if Janosch makes an appearance, I'd die happy.
I would too. I would love
that. I would love that, yeah.
Peter McNichol has been like super anti- anything to do with Ghostbusters forever. So I don't think, there's a snowball's chance in hell that we'll see him again.
Yeah.
Maybe a Kurt Fuller appearance. That would be cool.
That would be cool.
I don't know.
And then you also got to wonder,
who else could they really tap into?
That would make Moranis, obviously.
Well, yeah, but obviously. Yeah.
But that's another one of those things. Like, if they did that, they would have had to have done an insane job keeping it under wraps and stuff this long, I think. So, and it's like, it's one of those things, like, if it was going to happen, it probably would have happened in the last movie, but I don't know, maybe not. And I don't see it happening either, but.
Yeah, I see Rick kind of being past that. But some of those other characters, like Kurt Fuller would be great. And then you got to wonder, like, right, Brian Doyle and Murray played a character in there. So if he's going to be in there, maybe he's taking care of Janosch, right?
That motherfucker is, dude, have you seen him in the last 5-10 years? They ain't putting him in front of a camera.
He's.
Those Murrays don't age well.
Yeah.
Oh, well. That's,
who do you think's going to be the mayor? They got to have a new mayor since Mayor Lenny's gone. Rip.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Goldie Wilson.
What's that guy's name?
That would be awesome. That would be amazing.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah. I'm going to be the mayor.
Good, you can start by sweeping the floors.
Andy Garcia, I think. That's my guess.
Oh, my God. I would love that. I would love to look that. Him up.
I forgot his goddamn name.
Yeah.
But I looked up Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think that would be hilarious, though, because that would probably really make some people, like, so mad.
If they even remembered, though, what if they just played it off?
Like, oh, yeah.
I think that Walter Peck's mayor. I think somehow, some way, he's moved his way up in politics, and now it would make sense.
That's a bingo spot.
Yeah, it would make sense that Walter Peck is now mayor, and I'd be cool with that. I would love that. He's embraced the franchise for the most part. He came back for the video game and did Fan Fest and stuff. So obviously he's in the movie, so it would be cool to see him as mayor.
I think that's a pretty good spot for a bingo spot right there, as Alex said. I think that really fits right into it. Anyway,
it's interesting. I don't know if I love it, but like I'd be open to it. I feel like he might just be like literally like, was he? He wasn't the head of the EPA last time, was he? Or is he just worked for the EPA? He's just like a regular agent, like
yeah, the only
like a field agent who investigates shit, I guess.
The only place my mind has wandered to with his character, you know, kind of wondering about him is, you know, we had the video game and the comics that kind of follow the video game canon there, right? And so you have the enforcement there. And then in an article recently, like Dan Aykroyd, and it's Dan being Dan, so take everything he says with a grain of salt, unless it's about vodka, and then that's 100% fact. But he said that he wasn't licensed anymore. So I'm assuming there's something that's gone on since 89 that's kind of required some legalities with all this stuff.
Whether or not we're going to see Ghostbusters Civil War, and all the Ghostbusters are going to have to choose whether they want to register as Ghostbusters or not.
Yeah, you're going to register as a ghost or a Ghostbuster.
They have to sign the Gozerian Accords.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end, you have Dan Aykroyd fighting Paul Rudd. And they're dressed as Iron Man and Captain America.
And that means podcast gets.
I don't know. I don't like. I guess that makes sense, but I don't like it.
I don't know how much influence some of that other material would have on these guys. Right? Were they taking that stuff into consideration? Like, you know, because when you write a good movie or a follow-up story, right? You know, you're going to kind of pick and choose from the stuff that's outside the traditional mainline canon, right? And kind of cherry pick that just for what's the best, right? Look at Star Wars. They're doing that now. They didn't do that for the sequel trilogy, but, you know.
I wouldn't say they're cherry picking the best stuff. They're cherry picking the stuff that they like.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any Dash Rendar yet, so they are not cherry picking the best, obviously.
That is true. That is very true. So, yeah, I just kind of wonder what they're going to do with that. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I would love to see some of those other characters pop up as well. Like, I would love to see Milton, like, still selling books, right? I would love to see him going into Ray's book, trying to get him to get Ray to sell his books in there. You know, like a day-to-day comedy. Like, I don't need all the ghostbusting story. I want to know what all these people are doing, like, in their day-to-day lives. Like, what's her name? Still having an affair and her husband and blaming it on the holiday. And I was abducted by an alien. You're like, you had one too many at the bar. I get it. It's fine. We all know what you did. And now you're on TV. You've told a lie so deep that you had to go on TV for it. And you're still trying to sell us. All right. Well, join us next week or the week after, whenever we record again. And we'll keep this kind of silly banter going. And then make sure you get your Vigo ordered. You got the two sizes, right? You got the scale size to the action figures collectibles. So,
yep.
Much like all the other Class 10 series.
We like to give out options when we do it. If we're going to do something, try to. A lot of times is because we can't decide. Like, we love them both. So, we'll just make them both. So,
yeah. Well, I love the fact that you're doing the figure size, the collectible, like in scale, because for me, that works well for my collection and what the space I have available. Those larger ones are beautiful, but I'm like, oh man, where am I going to find room for that? But I did get a new display case at IKEA yesterday, so I need to put that together.
You got a nudist play case?
I got a nudist play case, yeah.
I think it's hot.
I think it's made by Mattel and it holds Barbie figures, but you got to take all their clothes off before you put them in there.
Oh, my.
All right.
Well, I mean, let's face it. They started molding underwear into Barbies for a reason. They do some weird stuff over there at Mattel. I wonder if Egon's let me ask you this. Is there any kind of sort of Lady Liberty ideas in the works?
We kicked around an idea, or at least it was an idea I had, and it's written down on our pipeline and our idea list, but like a Kenner style Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, but it's the Statue of Liberty.
Okay.
So something very along nice. That line, cartoony, you know, it's the big version, you know, something along the lines of that. I don't know if anything like to scale to put a figure in or anything like that. I also had an idea once a while ago, and I never actually got to the point of modeling it or moving farther past, but like an illuminating museum covered in slime.
Oh my God. Lights
up with the Statue of Liberty next to it. And you can make the arm go up and down to the roof of the museum.
If you guys
would be scale a, and be like a little crushed taxi cab next to the Statue of Liberty's foot and stuff like that. But this
is
dream board stuff right now.
I got to tell you could do that small scale, put it on a street, put an ornament hook in that thing and make it a light up ornament.
There you go.
Because you know what? All these figures would look great.
I think you told me that before. With ornaments, somebody yeah. did. Or maybe it was Jim, but I've heard it from a couple of people that these would make amazing ornaments.
Yeah, because I took a set of the Kenner re-release ghosts and put ornament hooks in their heads, so they're all in the tree this year. Because I've got vintage yeah. ones, and I was like, well, I've got all these. I've got vintage ones we can play with, but I was like, these new ones, you know, they're pretty abundant out there.
Oh, there you go.
These, yeah, I put hooks in the backs of a bunch of these gremlin heads. They came in a Gremlins advent calendar I bought at Walmart a few years ago.
Yeah, but if you did a little one of those or like make it a, you know, just a little glow up, like little desk lamp for the museum and the statue, that'd be real, real beautiful piece. And then maybe, you know, leave a little spot in there so we can play some Jackie Wilson out of it. I think there's plenty of things in the, we can keep selling you bad ideas all the time. So if you ever need someone to make more work for you, just let us know.
But also, Brendan and I have had lots of discussions, and we've been working on like our own unique, completely new, all to our own, brand new line of toys and action figures yeah. and collectibles. It doesn't lean on, I mean, it's heavily inspired by Ghostbusters and Ninja Turtles and everything great about all the toys we used to collect in the late 80s and 90s, and trying to mix all that into one big awesome idea. And we've got a lot of things in the works that we'll be coming out with, and we'll be announcing when the time comes. But we're definitely looking to do our own thing and have our own ideas come out there and not just make all the things. I mean, I love making Ghostbuster stuff, but I mean, it's nothing. Can't do that forever. So
yeah.
And we've been experimenting and looking into starting our own completely unique line. So it's going to be a while yet. So, but it'll happen sooner than later.
Well, that's awesome to hear. So pretty soon you'll have all those Hasbro folks knocking at your door looking for work. So, all right. Well, really appreciate you joining us tonight, Tony.
Yeah, Alan, thanks for having me.
It's good seeing you again, sir. I like your Santa hat over there.
Yeah.
So it looks looking real good. Festive. Real festive. Nice. So where can everyone find you online if they're not familiar with the shop so they can pre-order at the time comes?
PhantasmToys.com or at PhantasmToys on Instagram is where we do most of our promoting and showing off our good stuff. And so PhantasmToys.com.
All right, most excellent.
Your mother! Your mother! Your mother!